I'm going to tell you, Paul says it this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he said, I did not come to you with wise and persuasive words of men's wisdom, but I came to you with demonstrations of the Spirit and power, so that your faith did not rest in man's wisdom, but in God's power. Says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a little later, he says, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. When we become natural in our functionality and natural in our thinking, when we don't have a reliance on the Holy Ghost, that every move, everything we do is under the instruction of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, God in me. Not some nice force, not some wind, but the Creator who lives in me. When He says, I want you to pray for this person, it's not a suggestion, it's not an invitation, it's a command. When He says to me, I want you to give something to this person, it's not a suggestion, invitation, it's a command. I have to do what I'm told. That level of lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen, is what we need to start living out in the church, where we don't preach what is given to us by some denominational flow. That we are so well equipped ourselves that we know how to identify where people are and have the skills and the tools to bring them up to a place where they become dangerous to the demonic in their region. We're not dangerous. We're domesticated. There's nothing that scares the devil about us. When last did you cast out a demon? When last did you stop demonic activity in a region? When last did you come against what the devil's doing in somebody's life? When last did you get a person set free by a word? When last did you walk up to a person and prophesy over them, change their life forever? My wife and I were at a meeting last night in a place called Hartville. And one of the young men who today has been in Morocco and has been in Indonesia, is currently going back to Indonesia. He walked up to me last night. He said, you prophesied over me many years ago. Probably you don't remember. I said, I remember very well. He said, you told me I was like a sail on a boat, and that God was going to fill me with His wind and He would blow me all over the world. He said, at that time, I didn't know anything about where I was going to go. He said, today I'm all over the world because you said it. A word in season. Something which God speaks into your life and tells you what He's planned for you, what He wants to do for you. That we can all do that. Not weird, not wacky, but under the control of the Holy Ghost. Knowing when to talk and when not to talk. Knowing when to joke and when not to joke. Knowing when what we're doing crosses a boundary. That we are righteous and godly in our behavior. Not just weird and powerful, praying and people fall all over, but we have no regard for humans and how they feel. We speak to people, we shout at people, but because we've got a gift, the other side of the wing, you know, the dove has two wings. The one is the fruit, and the other is the gifts. And they better be working together. You better be filled with love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But you also should be moving in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, faith, healings, miracles, discernment of spirits, words of wisdom, and words of knowledge. These should be natural to all of us, not one at the expense of another. So I developed this course. The first one, 101, is what I believe is vital for everything we do in life. It's the core. It's called the core development course. It's the stuff that's going to make us stay strong. Do you know many of us have been in the Lord for many years, but if I had to say to you, what is it? What are the components that are going to make you outstanding in your service for God? If you don't know those, like I didn't for years, then all you do is keep sitting, hoping for an incident, hoping for a manifestation of God to show up that somehow it launches you. Not knowing that the core of who we are, the core of who the disciples were built into them by Jesus day after day. There's a man who built his house upon the sand and a man who built his house on a rock. One was the man who heard what was the word of the Lord and didn't do it. That was the sand one. And the other was the one that heard and did it. That was the rock. And when, not if, when the storms of life come, great is the destruction of the house on sand. In other words, if you don't have a core where the word of God is your absolute authority and you do what it says, you are in for trouble. That's how Jesus taught them. He taught them about sowing and reaping. He taught about, in Matthew 13, taught about a man who went out and sowed, and some fell on this ground and that ground. I don't want to get in all of it. You know it. He says you've got to sow seed on good ground. You've got to find good ground. Don't just throw your seed on everything. Just because your brother-in-law is having a life that is a total mess because he's a slob, it's not your duty to keep carrying him year after year. Don't throw your seed on good ground, on rubbish ground. God encourages us to help, but God tries to tell us that for us to keep expanding, we've got to keep sowing. It is the law in the kingdom. Expansion comes from sowing. If I want more friends, I've got to sow friendship. If I want more finances, I've got to sow money. Begging God and crying to God and bemoaning your situation will never help anybody. God does not listen to moaning. In fact, God is opposed to moaners. Just look at Numbers chapter 14. You'll see the Israelites moaned about being taken into a new land where there were giants. And he said, I'm going to cut them off. I can't stand people who moan. I'm going to kill them all. Moses intervened, and you know the story. They're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness because they were moaners. They didn't believe that God was a good God. And so Jesus prepared these people in the most amazing ways that by the time Pentecost came, there was in them a standard of character. Principles were built into them. They understood the laws of the kingdom. They knew that to live successfully, Jesus told them, John 10:10, the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come, that you will have life and have it in abundance. You'll have the God type of life. I'm going to show you how to live the God type of life. Day after day, teaching and principles. Today we hear sermons on stuff that has no core in it. And so we can be saved for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and have never been taught what are the core issues. This core development course, if you're on it, you have to commit yourself to it in your head today. And you've got to come back next Tuesday. Wednesday.
You could come back.
You could. It would be a little lonely experience. But you have to make a decision. When you make the decision, please listen to me. That means you are lined up for the 201. The 201 is going to include other churches. There are three other groups that are involved in this. We're all going to come together at a specific time in October, November. And for two nights, I'm going to give you training which is practical. You're going to be learning how to do things. I'll put tools in your hands. We'll do prophetic work over people. All of it is aimed at one big event at the end, which is called an apostolic adventure. An apostolic adventure is six nights with my wife and I. We're with you full time. And we will teach you how to identify your life gift, your prophetic destiny, and how to go through the preparation and process to become that person. So one builds on another. This is the core development course. The next one is equipped for impact. The third is developing your leadership skills. And the fourth is the apostolic adventure. I want to get that all through by so that by the time the apostolic adventure comes, you're ready for it. We hold that once a year. If the crowds get bigger, we'll hold it three times a year. It doesn't really matter. We've got a center in Thailand that my wife and I have built. And the center is a place that can accommodate, at the moment, 10 people, but we want to be able to accommodate 14 people. And in that 6 days, we'll train you and pour our lives into you. At the end of it, we'll do a SWOT analysis, which tells you your strengths, your weaknesses, and your opportunities and threats. And in doing that, we will give you a strategy for the years ahead as to how to be used by God in the gift that you've got. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 10 said, "He who descended is also he that ascended. And when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. And those gifts were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers." What for? Verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints to do the works of ministry." Our job is to get you equipped so that when you walk into any place, when you do anything out of your gift, lives are changed. You are anointed. You already have the gifts. You already have the anointing available. It's just stepping into what you haven't yet found out. One of the biggest questions I'm asked by Christians all over the world is, "What do you think my gift is?" Well, we'll help you find that out. We'll identify your gift and we'll show you how to develop it. But I'm trying to make a point. You have to make a commitment that you're going to go for it. This isn't take it or leave it. If I get 80% of you to commit, I'll be very excited. So this will be this night and next Wednesday night. Then when I get back, it'll be two nights away. Then the next one is going to be three nights. And the final one is going to be six nights in our center. We're starting the teaching now. I'm teaching you on what is called the core development process of any Christian. What Jesus is trying to get into us so that we can be Acts-type disciples. Ones that change their cities. I'm so interested. I was looking at my scriptures just now. And it says in Acts 2:47, it says people were added to the church daily in Jerusalem. Added daily. Every day there was another new face. Not one, it was people, not person. Then you look at Acts 6:1, that's thrilling. Now it's no longer added. It says people, the disciples were multiplied. You read a little further down in chapter 6, I believe it's verse 7, and it says they multiplied greatly. Man, this is exploding. Not like us trying to scratch, you know, let's put on a seeker-sensitive program so we can get somebody in the door. I'm not mocking it, I'm just trying to tell you, we're trying to find anything. Why don't we just have the raw power of God? Walk out there, somebody gets healed, delivered, set free, say, "We're picking you up." You're going to church on Sunday. I was in Indonesia a number of years ago, and I got suckered, really. The church was a church of about 3,000 people. I preached. I'm just laughing because the subject they asked me to preach on, as a minister that has no money, is how to be financially prosperous. It's like, I said to them, do you know how I am financially? They said, it doesn't matter. We just want to hear what you got to say. Next night, Monday night, about 400, 300 businessmen and women turn up. Now I'm going to teach them on business principles. I've only run a church in my life. I've never done anything more than that. I can't teach them anything, but I can teach them how to walk with God. So we finished, they come to me, because everything is interpretation, right? So they come to me and say, Pastor, would you be willing to prophesy over some people? Now, I don't know how you spell some, but some to me is spelled S-O-M-E, not A-L-L, right? So they get up and they say, Pastor is willing to pray for anybody who wants a prophecy. Who do you think stayed? All. I've never seen a line heading up the street out of the church before, waiting to be prophesied over. The first person I touched, power of God hit them, they manifested a demon, down, delivered, out. Second one, down, delivered, out. The third one, down, delivered. Well, now they've got a problem because the place is getting a little crowded. So they're starting to park people. They pull them and they park them next to each other. By the time the night was finished, I mean, it wasn't night, it was day. I'm talking about making an impact on people you go to. So the guy took me out for dinner at about 2 o'clock in the morning. We go to some little cafe place and sit down, order what I want, and there's a young lady who's serving us. So the man says to me, we were listening to your prophecies. We, by the way, are 13 elders standing around me and listening to everything I say. I am being checked out. He said, we have never heard such accuracy in our life before. How did you get so accurate? I said, by a lot of practice. I don't just prophesy once in a while. I prophesy all the time. Everywhere I go, if I get an opportunity, I'm going to prophesy. So he said, I mean, are you even practicing now? I said, yes. So he said, who? I said, the lady serving us. He said, what did God tell you? I said, she got news today that broke her heart about her family and she can't go. So he calls her over. Indonesians are go-getters, man. They're not like us. He calls her over. He says, this man's from South Africa. He's a prophet. He hears from God. And God spoke to him about you. And he says that you had bad news about your family today. And she just burst into tears. And right there and then, we lead her to the Lord. And he says to her, what is your address? Writes it down, says a bus is coming to fetch you on Sunday morning for church. Be ready. Oh, not sort of, I don't want to upset you. The God that you've just seen work loves you and wants your life. He's come to call you. Give your life to him. We led her to the Lord right there. She was the only one serving. She couldn't stop crying. Her boss looked at me with daggers. Because I now messed up his business. You hear what I'm talking about? We need to be people that are so built that wherever we go, God will use us in a spectacular way. Can you believe for that? That's who we're supposed to be. Jesus says in John 14:12, the works that I do, you will do also. Either he's confusing us or he's telling us the truth. It's the truth. But for that to happen, there has to be core things built into you. I taught you when I was here a while ago. I taught you on four core principles. I'm going to go over them quickly. I want to tell you, if they're not in you, if they are not in you, God can never use you in an outstanding way. Because all of these, for you to be used supernaturally, it requires these four things. All right, number one, selflessness. Selflessness. Jesus' first statement to his disciples, if you want to follow me, you need to die. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. If you have not learned to deny yourself, if you still argue with the Holy Ghost, you cannot be used in a serious way. If you want what you want, if you think it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 following, that Paul says, I don't box into the air, but I buffet my body. Some people read that and say, I buffet my body. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, make me comfortable and I'll serve Jesus. The scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says you have to be ruthless on yourself. Well, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to church today. It's a little cold. I mean, it's a bit of snow outside. It's too hot. It's a wonderful day to be at the sea. Whatever. You have not built into yourself a system that is selfless. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you, write it down and say, I've got to do something about this. I've got to do something about the fact that when God wants me to go across and encourage a person I don't like, I don't do it. Because God understands. They're such a jerk, why should I speak to them? God understands, really. Great while before day, Jesus got up and went into the mountains to pray. You think that was a great feeling, waking up and having to trek into the mountain every day? He took no regard for what it felt like. He did what he knew was going to give him a core strength. Selflessness. You cannot have a successful marriage if you're selfish. You cannot have successful relationships if you're selfish. If it's all about you, if you're using words like this, oh, but have you thought about me? Do you know what you do to me? You know how it feels for me? Me, 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 I. You've got problems. Listen to me, be radical with yourself. If the Holy Spirit puts a finger on you, accept it. Change what you're doing. Just change it. Determine you're going to be selfless. It's not about you. When you search, seek ye first the kingdom of God, when you do that, he will take care of everything you need. Amen. That's how it works. The second one is sacrifice. Sacrifice does not mean giving away what's easy to give away. You know, you've got a piece of junk as a car, it hardly works, but then you suddenly want to bless somebody that doesn't have a car. It's going to cost them a fortune to fix it. It might work for them for a week or two, but you know it's just about dead. And then we give it to somebody as a blessing. That's not sacrifice. Sacrifice, according to David, is I will not give to the Lord that which has not cost me something. Sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, is the very basis for God responding. God does not respond to anything unless there's been sacrifice. Well, you didn't hear me. Until Jesus was sacrificed, we do not have eternal life. Until a lamb was sacrificed, the Jews were not favored by God. Everything that God does requires a sacrifice. So when you want to go somewhere for God, you're going to have to pay a price for it.